Hello, my friends, and welcome back to PlayStation Blogcast, an extremely special episode from PSX 2017. I have a wonderful group of people joining me today, including, I'll go with you last. You slowly approaching my face. Sid Schumann, hello.
Hi, so glad to be here. PlayStation Experience, y'all.
Yeah, and we are recording on Sunday, so it is the close of the show, and we're here to tell you everything about it, including my colleague, Justin Massengill.
Oh, hello.
And joining us for the third episode that she has ever recorded.
Let's just count all of them.
Let's count every single one going forward.
In her 75th episode.
Kristen Titus, welcome.
Hey.
And Marvin. We've got Marvin here.
Marvin's Yay. Here. And ladies and gentlemen, we are joined once again by the man, the myth, the legend, pure, unadulterated enthusiasm himself, Mr. Greg Miller.
What's up, everybody? How you doing, Ryan? It's good to see you.
Greg, thank you so much for joining us. I know you've had a busy schedule this PSX, and also, I assume, a very sore throat from all the yelling and all the talking.
It was sore going into the conference, which scared me. And so I was like, just last through the Uncharted panel, and then it did. And then this morning, it was like, you went to bed at 4:30 in the morning, and now we're gonna make it rough. Yeah. I can hear a throatiness or a flintiness.
Yeah, there you go.
Flintiness. Uh-huh. I like that.
It's aged
like a fine bourbon right now. My voice.
And Ryan, I just want to compliment you for doing a great job with the podcast here. It's so exciting that we can be doing this podcast at the center of PlayStation Experience with all the incredible energy surrounding us.
Oh, look, there goes Shuhei
Yoshida. Yeah, wow, there he went. Right,
Shuhei is here. Andy House is here to say farewell.
We're literally thousands of gamers surrounding us right as we speak right now.
Mm-hmm. I think I just saw Cause Her Eye walk by.
Yeah. There he went. Right, darted right into the crowd.
What's that, Hideo? Yeah, we'll get you on later. Don't worry.
Kojima-san, we can't have you on the show. We only have five mics.
Sorry, they're all taken up.
Yeah.
So we're actually in like a broom closet or something.
But no finer broom closet for our show.
That's right.
And I wanted to take today to go around the table. I want everyone to share some of their experiences and thoughts from PSX 2017.
Their PlayStation experiences?
PlayStation experiences, their favorite moments. I would like to start off with my favorite moment and then segue into Greg. I'd love to kind of hear your thoughts and feedback about this.
It's a little selfish for you to immediately jump to yours.
I'm giving you time to think of yours.
That's actually very generous.
Very generous.
That's very generous. Okay.
I was actually palpably emotional during the Uncharted anniversary panel, which you were the host of.
Yeah.
And first of all, thank you so much for moderating the panels for us. And it was great to have you there.
Thank you guys for the honor of letting me be on your stage.
Absolutely. I did not make any of those decisions.
I'm aware you would have made sure it didn't happen if you had any power.
So I was in the audience during most of the panel.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was kind of getting choked up and started losing it when Emily started getting choked up as well, as I think a lot of people were. But I just felt like that entire room was electric the entire time.
Yeah.
I mean, you have this world-renowned talent across the stage, all sharing their experiences, and you were able to kind of be there in the spotlight and kind of get them talking and get them answering questions. And I just wanted to kind of see what your take on that moment was, especially being a diehard Uncharted fan.
Well, it's interesting, right, because I said it at the end of the panel, but it didn't really catch up to me till we were up there talking about it, and the fact that the 10 years of Uncharted are the 10 years of me being a professional video game personality, right? Because you figure I started at IGN in 2007, and then literally that first trip with Dunham Roper and Jeff, we went down there and saw this game they gave me, and it was Naughty Dog's thing. And so, you know, the chronicle of that, the fact that that's paced my career, and I've got to, you know, see Nolan grow and Emily grow and, like, Nolan become Nolan North, it's crazy. And so, like, when he was talking about that at the end, and, you know, it all hit me. When I passed it to him, that's when I got choked up.
Yeah.
Because when I was doing the moderating thing and Emily started to tear up, I was like, oh, okay. You know, blah, blah. And then it was when I asked Richard something, and he turned around, and he had tears in his eyes.
Yeah.
And that's when it was like, wow, like, this is the moment to put a close to this in a way these actors haven't had the chance. Because you go and you finish the game, sure, but to be here in a room, and, you know, I thought Nolan's speech at the end was so good, right? And where he was like, you know, I'm going to miss all these people, I'm going to miss the experience, but you don't have to miss Nathan Drake. Like, there's the games live on and you can play them again. That was good, but it was also heartbreaking to be up there as everyone had the finality of what happened and what this was and how special it was and how, you know, probably you won't have something like that again in your career. That was incredibly special.
Yeah, I think it's also amazing to see an actor's life and career like noticeably change and like, I mean, defined by a role.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you see that in films. You see people have breakout, you know, roles in their film career, but it's kind of special in games because that can just cement an actor in the industry for you know, decades afterwards.
Yeah.
And that's like definitely for Nolan. I feel like he will forever be Nathan Drake to everyone.
And that guy from Dark Void. Those would be the two roles he's always remembered for.
Forever remembered.
Yeah. And then at that moment, when the emotion reached its peak, I wandered over to Ryan and said, "Hey, what's going on with dinner?"
That did happen. No, I forgot. You were asking me a question. I was like, wait, one second.
You were just like, I can't talk.
With like and a
I was
twinkle like, oh. in his eye.
Oh, Sid. Greg, any other standout moments for you?
Dude.
A lot, probably.
Yeah, yeah. For me, in terms of what I'll be talking about for the next week on shows, dreams. I went to that behind closed doors thing, Dreams, and I don't want to say my expectations were low. I loved Little Big Planet. I love Media Molecule.
We just didn't know quite what it was.
Exactly.
You know?
It had been years since we heard about it. Yeah. It was supposed to be a beta that never happened. You're like, all right. It was like, I'm sure it'll be out eventually, and it'll be great. And when you went behind closed doors and saw that game and saw what they've been working on, it was like, oh, okay. Like, this isn't going to be another Little Big Planet, another community. This thing is going to be its own ecosystem in this weird way. Like, did you do the behind closed doors or talk to them about it?
I've seen some of the footage. Did they show you that eyeball one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is crazy.
That is trippy, right?
You play this little eyeball and you're running around.
It's like pulsating neon lights and it's like to a crazy techno track. But
I mean, it sounds like my jam. So.
Oh, you're going to love it. Yeah. But it's for me, and I won't be a person who creates outside of probably trying to get the platinum, whatever I need to do for the platinum. But
play infinite amount of time.
No.
Develop a full AAA game.
Yeah, exactly. Remake Death Stranding in there. My levels in Little Big Planet were always so basic. That wasn't, you know, what I was out to do. It was just fun to tinker around with. But the excitement of how they are trying to get even a person like me who doesn't want to create in there, because when you go in, you're earning XP, Ryan, right? You're building out this bar, but it's colored to show like what you're getting your XP from, meaning that then you can go in and you'll see, oh, this person plays all the time, right? Or this person creates all the time.
Mm.
Or this person creates music. Or this person creates props. Or this person just puts together awesome playlists.
Oh.
And this is where this ecosystem they're going to build, I think, is going to take off in the way that, think about it, that if I was a guy who made levels, right, and I'm making levels, they rank the people who are making playlists of like, hey, like curating their own thing is like, I don't make stuff, I just make playlists, and I think these are great levels, right? You know there's going to be a community behind that is going to be like, hey, every Monday I put up the best levels I find. And you know what's going to happen then when they say that? They're going to put an email address or a Twitter there. So then you're going to have an internal community working like the real games industry where I made an awesome level. Now I email Justin because
he
marketing,
curates and
say, hey, can you promote my game and do this?
Yeah.
Then I didn't think about that.
They're blowing
it
up in the way of that. Before, sure, I could make a level and I could go into your level, Ryan, and see something I like and get that and put it in my level, right? Now we can collaborate together on levels. So we can have a level we both or all of us go into and tinker with, meaning that I can now very much envision a world where it's going to be, I have this great vision for a game. I can't make it, but I'm going to lay it out, and I'm going to find the best person who's making games in there. And then I'm going to find the best person who makes music. And again, this is no longer, hey, go in there and tinker. Like, they have the preset sounds and techno and stuff, but in there they have a full synth. You can make your own music. They now have it where we could go into the other room, jam as a band, make a track, and then upload it to the PlayStation 4 and put original music in there. You can now upload your own VO to this thing. And it's going to be people creating full-blown things, but not even creating. It's really going – I can totally see this taking off and being insane collaboration of people who are just like, yep, I just make tracks. Hit me up at this email address if you need help for your level or game.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Media Molecule has always been a studio that really excels at letting players express their creativity. And this feels like a next generation of Media Molecule, whereas PS4 was the next gen of PS3. Dreams is the next gen of Little Big Planet, it feels like to me.
And that was the thing. I think what I was struggling to wrap my head around, where I was okay, yeah, it's going to be more Little Big Planet. Like, you know, more Create Share, whatever. The fact that it's so much more than that, that's what blew my mind.
Yeah.
And it is that I watched the levels they built, and like the levels they built, I'm like, yeah, I want to play this.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go through and do these experiences, let alone the fact of, yeah, when this is out in the wild and people are out there creating and doing the stuff. And, you know, somebody in my demo was like, you know, oh, so I can upload my own VO. Does it just automatically lip sync? And they're like, yeah, it can. But if you want to, you can go in there and assign all the different things and sit there and do it frame by frame, keystroke kind of stuff.
Didn't they say the whole like single player campaign is built in the game?
Everything in that game is
built in
all
in the game. Yeah,
that's nuts.
That is I know it's insane what they're doing over there. And you know, I was asking questions because what I struggled with in Little Big Planet would be, cool, I want to walk in here and have the platform go up and down, and it was always, all right, so make the platform go in there. Run the wire to this thing and trigger it when it does this. And I'd start the level and the thing would just come down and never go back up. And I'm like, God, and I'd go watch the sequencer. And like, I was like, this time around, they were like, all right, here's the thing. We want to make the platform. We hit the record button in the game and we move it with the gyros on the PlayStation and then hit stop it. And now that just does that.
Oh, wow.
That just does it. And I was like, oh,
thank
my gosh.
God.
It was, you know, herky jerky because it's, you know, the gyros of you moving it. Somebody else like, well, if you want to do it the other way and have it set to a grid and have it, that's there.
I prefer that handcrafted look and feel.
Artisanal.
That's right.
Farm to fork video game development.
I will make a game. Based on everything you've told me, I will now make a game.
Well, y'all hear that?
Y'all hear that?
That's been recorded.
I'm gonna make my dream game, and
we need
and
to hold Sid to this.
Your dream. Yeah,
but that was when I left. You know, the first thing I did was I grabbed Andy, who I work with, and he's super creative, and he plays music, and he's done game design before. And I was like, "Did you like Little Big Planet?" He's like, "I kind of missed the boat on it. Never played it." I was like, "Oh my gosh!" I'm like, "I'm booking you this demo."
Yeah.
And he came out today. Oh, when I was getting ready,
you got him in there.
And he was like, "Oh my God!" You know, and this is what you're talking about. I don't know how, and I don't know what it's going to be, but there is a kind of funny community thing here where I'm going to be like, hey, today on the Gamescast, let's pitch a game.
Yeah.
And then you guys, submit or whatever. Yeah, try to make this game.
Or make a team, and then we'll follow the teams as they try to complete the challenge.
Yeah, and like that's so awesome.
Yeah.
We're breaking kind of funny news on the podcast.
Yeah, exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, we're just spoiling what I'm going to talk about on the podcast. Whatever.
You actually did a great job of articulating, I think, what makes the game special. Because, I mean, it's hard. You have to really get a certain perspective on a game like this because we've never seen anything like it before. It has, in some ways, more in common with a traditional game engine SDK or something than it does with a game. And so the idea that, doing sort of the crowdsourcing, I had never really considered that. Like, you could have I remember when I was 15, I was a huge fan of Duke Nukem 3D, you know, on PC.
Yeah.
And they released their engine build for free, and they shipped it on the disc. And so you could actually just go right into the engine and start building stuff. And at the time, it was a very, very easy engine to build custom levels in, but I bet you I put 500 to 1,000 hours into that.
No way.
Yeah. I built a ton of stuff. Like, you'd be shocked if you saw some of the stuff I built. I got into what they called sector effects, which were basically...
It was a character in Mortal Kombat, right?
It's like you could go in and animate...
Sector.
Like water, so that it would do like undulations and like go up and down, like subtly even just to bring the scene to life a little bit. And I basically did almost everything you could do. I got very good at build, and I made some really... Now, the levels weren't necessarily the most fun to play, but they were interesting visually. I was really pushing...
That's not going to sell units, Sid.
It's not. But if I was 15 and I had a game like Dreams, I think that's going to have the same impact, but times 10, you know?
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
You can envision it, right, where there are people who are like, I just want to make character models. I just want to sculpt this. I just want to build cars and then upload them to the community. And, of course, it's still Media Molecule, so it's, you know, I like your car. I took it. I repainted it. I put it in my level.
And they get credit for that.
When people use it, the XP goes to the car that got painted, but then the original car as well.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's like you could build a bunch of stuff, step away for a month, and come back and have all
this
XP.
They thought of this stuff. I remember even, not to make this all about me, but so Duke Nukem.
It's
all
a PlayStation
surprise,
broadcast.
Surprise,
I was pretty proud of like what I was able to do in that, and I had a lot of levels I'd throw out halfway through because I go, this is broken. The foundation doesn't work, but But then, I don't know, this is getting a little insidery, but there's this game Blood that came out then later. It was another first-person shooter, used the same engine, and I got into there, and I actually joined, I don't even know how I found him, it was probably on like some website or forum, this group who wanted to do sort of a mod for Blood, mm-hmm. and that used to be, I'm sure it still happens, but it's gone kind of big league these days, but back in like the early 90s, the mid-90s, people for fun would just make mod teams, and you'd go and like tinker with a game, and I'm not a coder or anything, but I could do level design.
Yeah.
And so I worked on a project for maybe 3 months and then I quit because I was like, screw this. But it was cool. Like I was like the level design guy. And
that's
I would
awesome.
Like, the vision was to make it like a 1920s, like black and white. And I was coming up with effects to make the screen look like it would flicker like it was an old film. Like
nice.
Stuff like that. It's fun. And then I kind of, the enormity of the responsibility hit me and I was like, I don't think I'll continue with this.
Yeah.
But this is all what you're saying. Like you put your finger right on it. Like that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
People are gonna form little game design teams.
Yeah.
Across the world.
You just want to play them and it'll be great.
Yeah, it's super cool. That's so fun.
Sid, well, I know you were just sharing your entire life history
in
video game development.
I know everyone's been waiting to hear about that chapter. So.
But I love it. I love hearing about people's like creations.
Yeah.
On the side. So.
Yes.
Favorite PSX moments for you, Mr. Schumann?
There's a lot. I mean, I think the Friday night presentation was like kind of a different side of PlayStation. I think mm-hmm. it's just cool to, you know, bring some of these like these big names out and just kind of like let them all riff with each other. So I thought that was an interesting night. I think, you know, having Andy House come out, you know, he's the group chairman at PlayStation. He's worked for the company for like 25 years or something. And he's not, you know, He has gone out on stage at E3 in the past to make important announcements. I mean, this guy has been, for the last 7 years or so, like at the heart of the strategy of PlayStation. And so PS4, PlayStation VR, all these different things that have, you know, I think been incredibly, obviously incredibly successful, but just really important moments for the company. He's been at the heart of it, PlayStation Network. And so he's moving on. He's going to, you know, leave the company and do some other stuff. I'm not sure what. But getting him up there talking about, he's really close with Hideo Kojima mm-hmm. and Kojima. Sorry, I say Kojima sometimes. And somebody told me once it was Kojima.
It's
and
fine.
And
well, we can move on.
Oh, no. Don't worry about it. It happens to everybody.
Okay, good. So, yeah, having them up there kind of trading war stories I thought was really cool. But if you're going to ask me what my main takeaway from PlayStation experience was this year, I have – 2 syllables for you.
Okay.
Actually,
oh, wait, hold on.
4 syllables.
All right. We've gone from – you were about to say one,
yeah,
then
I
you
know
said
it
two,
is.
Now it's four.
It's definitely
just
four.
Get,
it's four.
Get the first word right.
Firewall.
There you go.
0 Hour. This is the new 4v4 tactical FPS coming to PlayStation VR. It is a PlayStation VR exclusive. This is from First Contact Entertainment, I think is the name of the studio. Wow. Did you get a chance to play this, Greg?
I did. Yeah, me and Andy did it behind closed doors.
I thought it was insanely impressive, and
yeah.
It's super early. We're going to have an interview later in the show, I think. Or maybe we'll hold it off for the next one. I already have it recorded, but we'll make it. We'll call an audible here about whether we do it on this show or the next show. But you're going to hear more about Firewall because I talked to the creative guy in charge of it. But this game is really, really impressive. I think this is maybe the most wowed I have been by the gameplay mm-hmm. of a PlayStation VR game. Because there's certainly a lot of games where you put on the headset, you go, I'm in a world of wonder, you know, and it's really beautiful. And
You seem very dismissive about the world of wonder.
The world of wonder is lovely, but is the world of wonder going to get me to play 80 hours? Probably not, right?
It would get me to play 80 hours, I think.
But I mean,
I love the world of wonder.
World of wonder.
That's the name.
Give me the season pass.
That's
for world
the name of the
wonder.
Show. That's the name of the show. World of wonder.
World of wonder.
So remember that.
PSX World of Wonder.
PlayStation VR.
But yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of oohs and ahs with PlayStation VR. I mean,
yeah,
Skyrim
yeah.
is super good. That's a great red meat game to have in there. I really liked Farpoint. I really liked, obviously, Resident Evil 7 is, I think, the pinnacle.
So you just want to get in there with the 4v4 tactical FPS action.
I want VR to have as big of an impact on gameplay and mechanics as it does on visuals.
Mm.
That's where I'm getting at with this. Like,
okay.
Resident Evil 7 was incredibly immersive, and it made me feel more intensely than I would have when I played on a TV.
Yeah.
And this game, I mean, look, I used to love Rainbow Six Vegas, one of the all-time greats. I mean, that's a truly spectacular multiplayer game, and I got the exact same feeling playing this thing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I understand exactly what you're saying, and it's not a knock. It felt like a traditional game, but it was a new way to play this traditional game. But it was
in a way that was exciting.
Where it was that I was in there with Andy and we were going, and it would be, I've never been in the military. Thank you for all who served, but I'm in there and I'm like, all right, Redwood, I got contact. Like, they're downstairs. They're downstairs.
Yeah, literally.
They're on our six.
It just comes
just
out.
Talking, yeah.
It just comes out intuitively, and I never talk when I play games like that on my TV. Yeah. I don't do voice chat. I just play. I'm like, leave me alone. Like, unless I'm playing with a friend, which I don't even do that much. This game, you feel compelled to because it feels like you're there. So you're saying they're downstairs. I saw the guy run down. Yeah. I'm going to take a look. Like, or they're in there and
don't
like,
be a hero, Sid.
Yeah. I was so literally
we were doing that. Like, don't go off alone. Come back here.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
Like, you're so much more aware of everything that's happening, and the game is more methodical and it's pacing the way that Rainbow Six is.
Seems like kind of like a reconsideration of how FPSs work.
Yes,
given the different platforms.
So I was using the PlayStation VR aim controller, and the controls on that were great because the rear analog stick kind of back on on the stock of the firearm, if you will.
On the aim controller.
On the aim controller.
Yeah.
You would flick the thumbstick and you'd do your quick turns the way you do in like a Resident Evil 7. So that's what you're doing to make the macro adjustments to where you're looking. And then the one up front is how you move and strafe, I think, too.
Yeah. Mm. You can run with it, too, if you click it in.
And you can do like a little run, And then all the other buttons are super intuitive. They're right where you expect that they'd be. It's flashbangs and frags and... just the way all that's done is so immersive, and you just really feel like you're there. Like, you aim down the sight if you want to. So
I was like, all right, I'm going to breach the door. And we all, like, intuitively went to the side while the other guy got in front.
Yes,
like,
or I see my teammate trading fire with these two guys in this room up here. I don't want to get out in front of that. Oh, I glimpsed a door in the back. I'm going to go around back and see if I can get in. And I don't think that way when I play these games normally. I'm more like, oh, I'm going to get them. Oh. And I loved it. I thought it was incredible. You're checking corners because that's another thing. It's like easy to miss, and this is a mechanical thing as well. When you play an FPS, let's be honest. FPSs are a little bit awkward, even when you get good at them. Moving backwards, turning, you feel like you're kind. You still feel like you're a tank, a nimble tank, but you don't have. It's not like it is in real life.
You're saying this feels more natural.
A nimble tank.
100%, because what you can do, like, you're just way more aware of the space around you. Mm. You actually think about it the way that you do when you're walking around a hallway. And
I'll bet 3D audio plays a huge part in that too.
It could, yeah. It was just even me just going. I would make these hard turns with my I'm gesticulating wildly now, but I would literally pivot carefully to check nooks and crannies because people would hide there because they knew it was just like real life. Like in real life, you're not going to blunder down the hallway like firing from the hip. You're going to like sneak into a little corner and just sit there.
Yeah,
and
that's like spatial awareness.
The spatial awareness and you're just clicks instantly and intuitively when you're playing Firewall. And I was amazed. Like one example was like imagine you were really in this scenario. You're going down this hallway, and there's a stairwell. And I look up the stairwell. I have my flashlight on. I look up the stairwell. I don't see anything. And then as soon as my flashlight goes away, the guy steps out and starts blasting down at me. And so I spin around. We're trading fire up the stairwell. It's insanely dramatic in a way that I have not played in a first-person
You're
shooter.
You're really making me want to go track
this
down and play it today.
It's great.
You still have time, Justin.
There's still time. It's playable on the floor here at PlayStation Experience.
By the time
when
people listen
to
this,
it is not. There's not time left.
I know. I'm teasing. But anyway, I
better
think
go,
it's,
Justin.
I
just think walk out right now.
The vision.
I'll be right back, guys.
I've been waiting for a game like this. Resident Evil 7 was a glimpse, but it was still more of a traditional DualShock game. And you can play Firewall with a DualShock, and apparently it's quite good. Like it's still really good in different ways.
Yeah.
But that aim controller, the feeling of freedom that you have in the movement and your sight lines and being able to effortlessly and intuitively maneuver, and then you're trading fire and you're ducking and you're peeking over things to shoot down in front. You're peeking around, but not with like a clumsy hold L1 and move the analog stick. You just do it. Like, it's really cool.
It's PlayStation VR, continues to do so well, and we get more and more games out of it. That's really the testament to the ones that work, is that it feels natural. It reminds me a lot of different kind of first-person shooter, Blood and Truth.
Oh, yeah.
Where there was a moment, like, I was playing that, and I was like, all right, this is fun, this is cool. And there was a moment where I was setting the thing, blind firing over the table, and a dude chucked a grenade, and it rolled on the table. And I remember, I pulled myself up, I grabbed the grenade, I threw it back at him. And it was that moment of, like, Wow.
Yeah.
The game didn't prompt me. It didn't tell me to do that. It was just
you
like.
You just knew.
Because that's what you would do.
You don't want there to be a grenade near you.
Yeah. And I was like, wow.
Certainly not.
Yeah, there's just something about it. So, I VR is still in a very early state, but games like Firewall particularly, and the multiplayer element as well, it feels dangerous. There's an intensity. Like, because you really feel like you're inhabiting a space with these other four mean people who are out to get you, and so you just approach that situation differently. And at one point I was like, you kind of get this adrenaline rush you don't necessarily get, or I don't get as much when I play TV based games, like in a competitive shooting sense. And I was like, I'm just gonna go right through these double doors, and I have a shotgun, and I'm just gonna let loose at anything that's in front of me. And you had to open the door, and they open realistic, and there's nobody there. And then I'm like, okay, did they go over here? Did they go over there? You know? And then I'm like, where are my friends at? I'm getting scared. I'm isolated now. I'm running back out. You know.
Love it.
So good. So anyway, Firewall, 0 hour. They've said it's coming out next year. I think it's something that if you've ever loved a Rainbow Six, if you've ever loved a SWAT, this is your game.
Mm. And
Well said, Sid.
You did an interview with those guys on our live show yesterday. Are those going to be uploaded to YouTube?
They should be.
So you can go back and learn more about it.
Should we just throw to my interview?
Let's. It's very possible.
Okay.
But I would still like to give myself the option of using it in a later episode
as well. I see. Okay.
So
we have given Firewall a lot of playtime already.
We sure have.
We have, yeah.
And I want to hear about Justin's some of his PSX moments.
You know, there was so much that happened at PlayStation Experience 2017. So many cool things that I saw. But there's one thing that is just stuck in my mind that I can't stop thinking about, and that is Sid Schumann wearing a tie on stage during the Friday night presentation.
He looked so fancy.
Man.
That tie was a little on the short side.
I thought you pulled it off.
Thank you.
You looked great.
Nice work. No, seriously. There was a lot of cool stuff. I haven't had a chance to play anything yet because we have a lot going on. I'm going to try to after this. But I really enjoyed the trailer for Donut County.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How great was that?
Right?
Yeah.
So good.
Does that game platinum? I don't know. That's the raccoons.
I feel like they put that line in there for you.
I think they did.
Did you know I learned they call raccoons trash pandas? Have you heard of those?
Yeah.
That's a thing.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Sid, have you never...
That's the real name of the episode. Trash Pandas.
Trash Pandas. It's cute, right? Question mark.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff. I had a lot of fun on our live show yesterday talking about The Forest, talking about Guacamelee 2, talking about Concrete Genie. Concrete Genie was a big highlight for me because those guys, their passion just shines through when they talk about their game.
They ooze passion.
They do. And I got a free Concrete Genie shirt, so
nice.
I feel like I'm obligated to give them a shout out.
Money hat.
Yeah. I haven't thought about that in forever.
lots of good word on the street about the Monster Hunter World beta that's happening this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That I'm also not going to be able to play. So
their booth has been very popular. I walked past and took many pictures of the giant Andranath statue that they have.
Oh, is that what it's called?
That's what it's called.
Oh, you're fancy. I've been calling it a dragon.
It's a Dargon.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, that whole booth has just been stacked. People are really excited about that game.
Awesome.
I keep trying to stop by to play Wizard of Legend, and there's always a line, like 10 minutes long, and I don't have 10 minutes to wait. I just found out our good friend Dale North composed the music for Wizard of Legend.
Huh.
Yeah. Did you know that?
No.
He tweeted about it the other day. So that's another reason I want to play it. Also, the game just looks super rad. A lot of cool indie stuff on the floor. I saw Way of the Passive Fist.
I want that game. That looks really good.
The premise of that game, I think, is it's a fighting game, but you win by tiring out your opponents by not letting them hit you.
It's a brawler. It's like a Streets of Rage style game.
Yeah.
And you're a fighter, you're a martial artist, but you have a robot arm that needs to get charged up. And so what you do is when the enemies attack you, you do all these different evasions and dodges. That powers you up. And then you go like, Gerdoo, and like slam them with like one devastating punch
or whatever. Look at Sid educating me on an indie
game.
That's
right, yeah. I thought it looked great.
Oh, yeah. When I got to play it, I was like, when they hit me up for an appointment, I was like, I respect brawlers. I had fun with them. I don't really like the side scroll and beat them up anymore.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is a different one. It's almost a rhythm game. And I was like, and I went there parrying and then dodging and then charging up. But I love it when you use the charge up attack really for the bosses, right? But when you're just playing the other guys, you go and they'll eventually tire out and you just two-finger tap them.
Oh, is that really
and
how it
fall
works?
Over. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
What the game's doing is it's making you spin all these plates at once, because the whole point of the game is to be zen and passive and be that, like, mm-hmm. you know, kung fu monk who's just like, bah, 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 and knocking away all the hands.
Yeah.
And so what it does is brings enemies in from all corners of the screen, but only one will ever engage you. The others will hang back.
In classic fashion, yeah.
But it'll be that if you're going to parry or block, you have to be looking at the person. So you'll take care of the guy on your left and then have to turn to the right. And then they'll bring in sandstorms that come in. It feels so frantic, as if you're really in this crazy fight. But the whole point is to keep your cool and just block everything.
That's like awesome.
Stay zen. Yeah, I really want
to
play.
Give it to me. And it's got some nice like 16-bit style graphics too.
It looks fantastic. It's such a cool concept. I want to check that one out. There was one more game that I saw that I hadn't heard of yet, but I'm super interested in because I just saw it. Saw somebody playing it on
Uncharted
the show.
Uncharted 4.
What is this? Uncharted.
Uncharted.
4.
God
and
of War.
And which thief is coming to an end?
The game is called Just Shapes and Beats, and it's like a. It looks like a rhythm shooter type thing. It looks super weird. I don't know a ton about it, but I intend to find out more. It has a really cool style, and it has had some really cool sounding music. So I don't have a lot to share on that yet, but maybe I will next week. I'm going to try and play it before the show's over.
Special preview of next week's episode.
Exclusive.
Yeah. So, exclusive. Yeah, that's your indie report from PlayStation Experience.
Very nice. Very
wonderful.
Nice.
Thank you, Justin.
Kristen.
Hello.
Last but not least.
I know. I mean, well, I guess speaking of last but not least, I think my favorite moment was just when Ashley and Troy Baker come out for The Last of Us to perform. Like when it was first just Ashley Johnson, I was like, yes, we're getting this song. And then it cuts to Troy Baker with using his Joel voice. And it was a great surprise.
It was
a great panel in general. I was surprised. I remember when that second trailer that came out at Paris came out, there was a little bit of like, oh, here are the different actors that are playing Lev, Yara, and Claudia as blank character.
Sure.
We don't know her name yet. But
Laura Bailey's character.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm mixing up from the Uncharted.
Yeah.
Sorry. But the actor who plays Lev was from a TV show I watched earlier this year called The OA. He's this like young trans actor that had this amazing story I was just super excited to see him. I was like, as soon as I saw his face, I was like, it's him. It's that kid. So I'm really excited for that game and just seeing Hannah Hart be super excited about it.
Yeah, she was great. I liked her a lot.
She
never heard of her before because I'm old and I don't watch the YouTube as much as everybody else, but
I thought
she was great.
I don't watch her channel, but I've recognized her and she had great energy.
Yeah.
Quick question. I don't want to speculate here too much. But
careful.
I mean, consider what you're about to say.
I've considered it carefully.
Hold on. Right. Did you really?
I did.
Give yourself 3 seconds.
We're not doing any edits to this episode.
I gave myself 20 to 30 seconds.
Okay,
I
perfect.
I pondered. It's nothing bad.
You're like, okay. So here's what the ending of The Last of Us Part 2 is.
No, I was talking to Neil, and he told me.
No, it actually had to do with Troy and Ashley's performance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And was it just me, or did Troy's performance as Joel, did he make the Joel voice sound more desiccated than normal? Did you notice that? Is that just me?
I mean, he was doing it live on stage, singing a song, playing guitar to thousands of people.
I just thought it sounded extra cool and extra gravelly.
I mean, it is a cool voice.
Yeah. But it was like, it just sounded, I mean, he's a little older in The Last of Us Part 2.
Confirmed Joel is made of gravel in The Last of Us Part 2.
Exclusive report.
Well, it takes place a few years after the first game, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
because Ellie's now 19.
Yeah, I guess like five to seven years.
Yeah. And I mean, in the zombie apocalypse world,
they aren't zombies.
I know.
They're mushroom men. Get it right.
Mushroom men.
They're the infected. I'm sorry. I'm just
teasing. The fun guys.
Anyway, I thought it was. I almost would want to ask Troy. Like, I noticed it sounded 10% more desiccated. Was that a purposeful decision? And I bet he would have said yes. I think he would say yes.
Okay, like, well, you heard it here first from Sid Schumann. That 10%. Might have been an intentional decision.
10% more desiccation at your local neighborhood Last of Us Part 2 panel.
Troy, is it true? Like, I mean, is that your message for all of us that we, as we get older, we just sound a little bit more desiccated? Would you say? I'd be curious to see what.
I think I sound a little more desiccated than I did a few years ago.
I'll tell you, this dry air down here in Anaheim is not helping matters. My lips are like sandpaper. Yep. Mm-hmm. My knuckles are cracked.
cracking.
The highlights of PSX.
You're at home right now, and you're like, man, I wish I could have gone to PSX. You don't know the nightmare it is.
No, Greg, it was a great experience
the
here.
Dry skin, though, right?
Maybe we will make an edit.
People with developers and stories, but our skin.
Our skin, won't someone think of the
skin? My knuckles are bleeding.
On the note of that performance, I want to brag a little bit. Ashley Johnson tweeted out that picture that I took of them doing the performance.
Heck yeah,
I had tweeted it out from the PlayStation account, and I guess somebody tagged her in it. So she grabbed it and tweeted it out. And I was like, hey, I took that picture.
Excuse me, photo credit.
No, actually, I was just trying to brag a little bit. And she
apologized for not crediting
it. She actually replied to me and said, I'm so sorry I didn't credit you. And I was like, oh, no, it's okay. I didn't give myself credit in the first place. I'm just excited that you tweeted it. But
humble brag.
But now that I have you, can we talk about desiccation?
A couple of other things that happen at PlayStation Experience I just want to throw out there for all folks to take note of. We did see that Medieval is in some way coming to PS4. We don't know exactly in what form. I think it's remastered in 4K on your Skelevision. That's all the information we've got to go on right now.
It doesn't play on televisions, just on Skelevisions.
So you're going to have to upgrade all your TVs.
That's the hot new tech.
To Skelevisions. So that's great. That obviously got a good response. Wipeout. Omega Collection out now on PS4. That is going to have a VR update. It sounds like early next year. So it's going to add, sounded like pretty much all the content you'll be able to play in VR. Did you get a chance to play that?
No.
I don't know, man. Wipeout in VR?
I looked at that and I was like, whoa. That is
so
overload.
Extreme.
Obviously, people want that. I am super curious to play that.
Yeah, me too.
Only for the most seasoned VR professional.
That's we'll see.
Only the most desiccated. Only the most.
I can only imagine that they've done plenty of testing to make sure it plays good and everything.
The December 12th, they're going to have that free Last Guardian VR demo. Mm-hmm. Standalone experience. You don't have to own the regular game. But it sounds like it's a maybe 20, 30-minute experience you can play on PlayStation VR, but it's free for everybody, so check that one out.
I heard people talking about that, saying it's crazy to just like see Trico at scale.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Just real quick, Shadow of the Colossus on PS4 Pro.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. Holy smokes.
Seeing that comparison shot is just mind-boggling.
I mean, here's what's funny about it, is you see it, sight unseen, if you just see the PS4 Pro specifically, mm-hmm. if you see that version of Shadow of the Colossus, rebuilt from the ground up by Blue Point Games, they are the best, Blue Point. They are trusted hands for a delicate work such as this. When you see it on its own in 4K on PS4 Pro, you say, boy, oh boy, that looks tremendous. They did a terrific job. Mm-hmm. And then when you see they have this new trailer out on YouTube where you go, oh my God, that's what that game looked like on PS2 in my mind.
We've got that trailer. We've got the trailer at PlayStation.blog.
We sure do.
You can watch it there. And we have a rundown of how the PS4 Pro stuff works. And we have your first look at the special edition of the game.
We do. And I even chimed in the comments with a quick note from the dev team talking about PS4 Pro benefits for folks who own 1080p TVs, let alone 4K. And there are benefits. But that game looks astounding. And I did not get much of a chance to play the PS3 re-release that Blue Point also did, maybe like, what, 5 years ago, six years ago? And I'm old. So I remember, they include that PS3 version in the remaster comparison. And I said, wow, they did a really good job on that. That actually looks really good. And now they've blown that out of the water in a way.
Yeah, that PS3 version, I think, was more of kind of the standard remaster, kind of the upscale.
Done lovingly, though. I mean, and they added some stuff.
But this is a complete rebuild.
Like, they put in all this crazy foliage on the ground, like the grass tufts are thrusting up through the rocky soil. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, and they added all the fur to the Colossi.
That fur is fuzzy-wuzzy, I'll tell you what. Fuzzy-wuzzy.
Oh,
and then you see the animations of the Colossi and the PS2 one, and they're all, like, jerky, like, stop. I'm like, I don't remember any of this. In my head, it looks like it does
masterpiece.
Now.
Masterpiece. Yeah.
So Zach and I got to go to Blue Point not too long ago, and we asked them tons and tons of questions and did a bunch of interviews with them. And one thing that kept coming up when we were talking to the people there is they made a point to tell us that their goal is to make the game the way that you remember it. So when you play it, it's going to feel the way that you remember it from way back when.
They also fine-tune the controls, so the camera works better, definitely works better. The rolling is now just mapped to the circle button instead of having to hold, like, L2 or whatever it was.
But notably, they did not change certain things, like you still have to stand still to fire the bow and arrow, because there are certain things that would kind of make the game not true to its original incarnation.
But a little less of a handful to play. Yeah, like, you know, jump is on X instead of triangle.
A little bit more modernized.
A little bit more modern. I think they made the right call. It's not too far. And if you're a purist, you can activate classic controls in the options screen. So Shadow of the Colossus looking bodacious on PS4 Pro.
Back in the box quote, bodacious.
And it's coming out. Is it February 6th or 9th? I can't keep it. I can't remember which.
I think it's 6th. I Fact-checking squad is on
well,
the case.
It's in early February, so click here to buy now.
Right now. Oh, yeah. Sid, we have about 5-10 more minutes before I need to let everybody go. So, Greg.
Patapon 2 got announced as well, guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're going to talk about all these other games nobody cares about. Shadow Colossus, never
you're
heard
like
of
dreams.
But Patapon 2 is coming.
I'm glad you're excited, buddy.
February 6th for Shadow of the Colossus. Okay.
The earlier one. That's our the better of the two is what it is.
Before we end, since we don't often get a chance to have Greg on the show, I want to just get fully caught up on your life and every single facet of your... Actually, I just want to hear what you are playing now, what you are watching now, what is good in Greg Miller's life.
Well, everything's good in Greg Miller's life.
Oh, but that's
because
great.
I got married. She's right over there. Her name's Jen.
She's
I love
in
her.
The room.
Playing right now, you know
so
what?
So is Marvin. I'm still coughing.
He's also...
Are you okay,
bud? Life great.
All right.
That's Marvin's cameo.
What I've been playing now is I got back on the Everybody's Golf Train.
Oh. Ooh.
I had fallen off Destiny 2 and then fall releases. And so now I'm back on Everybody's Golf. When I get home, I do want to get through the Curse of Osiris DLC for Destiny as well. But yeah, Destiny 2 still playing. Everybody's Golf still playing. I still love that Friday the 13th.
Can't, oh, my God. Are you
wait,
playing that?
I don't think I know any. Okay.
Oh, dude, so I'm obsessed with Friday the 13th.
Really?
Do you play Dead by Daylight?
No. Never.
You tried it? It doesn't grab you?
Yeah. We had done, like, at, I think, RTX Sydney something where we played against people in Dead by Daylight. I was like, all right. Then when Friday the 13th came out and I got on that train, I was like, oh. And then somebody tried to get me to play Dead by Daylight on PlayStation 4, and I played it. I was just like, I like Friday the 13th.
Quick anecdote about Dead by Daylight, because I like to keep up with what the kids are playing. You
sure.
Know, the young
you got
to
know what the youths are up to.
Well, that game's a tremendous hit.
Yeah.
And I think it's free to play. I think. I might be wrong. Don't you quote me on that. But anyway, it's a very accessible price point. I know that. And so I fired it up, and I went in, and I'm playing it. And literally, this giant, you know, hulking brute grabs me immediately, slings me up on a meat hook, and I have to sit there and jam on the X button for like 20 minutes as fast as I can, or I sink onto it and die. And I'm like, I don't know if this game is for me. I mean, it was punishing, and you had to wait. The idea was like another teammate could like sneak up and like get you off. Yeah. And I was like, this is hilarious. My thumb is about to fall off. I've been doing this for 5 minutes. I was like, wow, the kids are into some crazy stuff
the
these
kids.
Days. And I briefly played Friday the 13th as well,
yeah,
which seemed a little bit more accessible.
Yeah. Wait, so Greg, what about Friday the 13th gets you?
First off, I'm an amazing Jason. So when I get to zoom around the map and kill people, there's just the thing about Friday the 13th is that whether you're Jason or you're the counselors, I feel like every game has at least a couple moments of pandemonium or something you're going to remember and talk about. Like, you know what I mean? Whether it's like
what? Yeah.
What for me, like, I've played enough of it where it's like, I'll start and I'm like, all right, cool. Like, and I play with Kind of Funny community all the time. And it's like, as Jason, you start in your little hut. I come out and I'm like, all right, what map are we on? This should be right around. I know where people spawn, like where you start in the game or whatever. So I've done it where I'll go over there right away and immediately someone's right there. I've done it where two counselors run away from me. I go and kill the one, and then I look at the map, and I'm like, all right, if you ran – this is my best moment of all time. If you ran that straight
wait,
direction –
Wait, hold on. Your best moment
in Friday 13th,
of all
my best
time.
Friday 13th
okay.
moment where I looked at the map, and I'm like, all right, if he was running at that pace, he should be – and I warped, and I not kidding. I warped right on top of him.
Oh, my,
and he went, oh my God. And I grabbed him. And he was like, you have mics, well, you know, until you get die or whatever, and it's all prox chat. So he's like, how did you know? And he's dead.
What if, do you ever just, like, kind of watch them and lurk and just kind of, like, intimidate them versus, like, immediately go for the throat?
No.
You just
gotta
go right to
get
throat,
in there.
Yeah.
You got to get in there.
You
got to
get in there.
At Extra Life this year, when I went out to do it at the Irrational Passions house in Maryland, we had this intense game where it was the final thing of the stream too, where I had killed everybody but one, and we had this awesome cat and mouse game of he kept jumping out the window, and then I'd come to get him, and he'd jump back in the window.
Yep.
So it's like this standoff of like, what do we do? Like, who's gonna do this? And I was out of traps, and I didn't have knives. It was insane. All right.
It
so
was
what happened?
Great. Yeah. So what happened?
Oh, I lost.
Oh.
How did they get you?
In Friday 13th, you can win by escaping, killing Jason, which is nearly impossible.
Yeah.
Or if you just survive the 20 minutes.
Oh.
So I ran out of time. Him and I, and he came downstairs. He's like, dude, my heart was pounding.
Oh my God.
And I was like, mine too. And that's the thing where you have these moments of like you're driving the car and Jason's coming. You know he's gonna. He warps there and you just get around him or he slams into it and everybody scatters and.
Oh man.
It's just
it's
a fun teamwork game of running around. Like
that's
every time
cool.
I get the walkie-talkie, yeah, I'm like, breaker breaker, this is Big Daddy. Where are we going? You know what I mean? See who has the walkie-talkies. And like, yeah.
I didn't think Greg would turn me on to Friday the 13th,
dude,
on today's
when we
show.
Get back to SF, like play it at night with us one
okay,
night. Just jump
yeah.
in.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I bet you are a great Jason.
I'm also
you
a maniac, right? So
yeah.
I'm the guy who like when I'll they'll be like because like you know there's like you can hear like the music when Jason comes or whatever. I still play as the 8-bit Jason, so it's
nice.
Still that 8-bit chiptune or whatever. People be like, oh, I will warp over like, oh no, I hear the music. I'm like, yeah, you do. I'm like screaming, like, smashing the walls, screaming at people, telling them not to run. That's the other thing too is like as a counselor. There's always the cat and mouse thing of people, if I'm running away and Jason's chasing me, I always bluff. And sometimes I have it, sometimes I don't, but I'm like, just so you know, I have 3 pocket knives and they're running to the cops. Like, what are you going to, because like a pocket knife's an automatic, you get out of the Jason grab. And so you can totally waste people's, Jason's time, you can get away, you can, it's
waste
it's
Jason's
great.
Time.
It's such a weird thing.
You know,
thing.
My time is precious,
yeah.
sir.
You can't kill him, but you can annoy
he's
him.
He's got chores to do.
Yeah.
And he's got
well,
20 minutes.
It is a, well, it, the amount of times it'll happen, there's one guy in our community every time we play, and when me and him face off, it is that thing every time. We're like, all right, here we go again. Like, we know eventually you'll probably get me or vice versa, depending who Jason is, but I'm going to spend a good 7 minutes of the 20 minutes trying to get you while the other guys are working on the car or turning on the phone or all this stuff.
I love how hard it is to actually kill him. You have to get the sweater. You have to
have the sweater and Tommy Jarvis and knock off the mask, and it's like –
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's a pain.
It's very cool.
But, yeah, you've known me a decade, Ryan, and, like, this has been the year where all of a sudden it just clicked for me to play multiplayer games and services things.
How about that?
Friday 13th. Marvel Heroes, rest in peace. Destiny 2, like, I'm just like, that's what I want to play.
Greg, yeah. Let's play some Destiny.
Hell yes.
What about TV shows and or movies?
TV shows, lately we've been watching Glitch on Netflix.
Oh, I don't know this one.
It's a Netflix original.
Okay.
Set in Australia.
Okay.
The idea is one night, something like 6 or 7 people climb out of their graves alive again. And they're not zombies. They all have heartbeats and pulses, and
they just go back to their lives.
Die. Well, no, they come out and they're totally disoriented of what's happened.
What about the embalming fluid and stuff?
Well, it's a show.
Hollywood
it's,
magic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I couldn't work with that.
Sid, come on.
Well,
that's
they come
great.
Out top physical form, like you know what I mean? Or
okay,
like, I guess
so
top physical form. Of, like,
so something okay. I could maybe there's something unexplained.
Exactly.
That, okay.
No. And that's the thing is like we really enjoyed season 1, and now you're into season 2, and it's kind of – but it's we have this, like, lost problem of, like, all right, give us some answers.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? Like,
you
why?
Can do that routine for a while.
Exactly.
But then you need to make it clear about where it's going to go.
And that was the thing is, like, they're short seasons, just the way Netflix is doing it. And so when we finished the first, she was like, Jen was like, oh, and that was the season finale. And I was like, it was? That was a terrible – I would have – if we would have watched it without having season 2, I would have been like – who cares? Like, why is that your cliffhanger? But it was interesting at the start, and there's still interesting mechanics.
Okay.
So that one, you didn't sell me on as bad as Friday the 13th, but interesting.
Well, I'm not trying. I'm just telling you. You didn't say, what have I been loving? What have I been watching? You know
you're
I mean?
Right. It was my mistake
was
as an interviewer.
Mistake.
Favorite movie of the year so far?
Now he did say favorite.
Yeah, now he said favorite. Yeah, favorite movie of the year so far?
So far, there's only – I don't know how many more movies are going to see.
Well, Star Wars
comes
out this week.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. So, right. What springs to mind? Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, I have to see
it. I haven't
that.
Seen it
oh,
yet.
Still need to
that
watch
was
it.
So fun.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And that director is just like, I watched a couple of his other movies afterwards.
Oh, yeah. What We Do in Shadows?
Yeah.
That Isn't that and, hilarious? Yeah.
Hunt
I
of the
that.
Wilder People with Sam Neill.
Yeah.
It's hilarious, you guys.
No, I mean, for people who are burned out on superhero films, which I'm not, but for people who are, it's just like, it's awesome to see Marvels to a point now where they're like, let's just get weird. Like, yeah.
That's good. They need that.
Him and Hulk and Jeff Goldblum in space, and we're going to make it kind of 80s and go for it. Oh. And it's just awesome.
Greg, you're a huge DC guy. Thoughts on Justice League?
It was fine.
Sure.
The last 15 minutes, I couldn't stop smiling. Yeah. The last 15 minutes of the movie are where the DC Cinematic Universe should have started.
Okay.
And so, for me, when that happens and we go, it was like grinning ear to ear, and like I got teared up. Like I'm like, this is awesome. This is amazing. Why hasn't it always been
I know.
This? And so, is it too little, too late? Where do they go from here? Kind
but,
of thing.
But you've got to have that bleak
you
darkness
got to.
Just to get us to that point. Exactly. I'll say, here's my take. I've never been a huge Marvel guy. I'm actually more like the Vertigo kind of side of things, like the adult, like gore comics and stuff. But my challenge, I always felt that a lot of the DC heroes, they're the oldest ones.
Yeah.
Outside of Batman, have struggled to sort of be relevant in the modern era. So Superman, I know you love Superman, but I've always struggled because I'm not sure Superman can work today. I don't know. Like I grew up with the Christopher Reeve movies; they're classic.
Sure.
Especially Superman IV, A Quest for Peace.
Oh wow, yeah, Nuclear Man.
I mean, I grew up with that, with the long fingernails and the big hair.
How are you gonna hurt Superman? I'll scratch him real bad.
Yeah.
What? That's what's gonna happen.
So I don't know if that could work now.
It could, and I think it. There's plenty of comics I would point you to that are amazing, and I think can show you what Superman can be. The problem I think with Superman for so many people is the fact that, and I love the Christopher Reeve movies as well. They broke the character. They put a version of Superman out that, to get really nerdy, right, was before Crisis on Infinite Earths, when Superman basically, he's a god. He can rewind time in these movies and eventually build the Great Wall of China with his eyes, which is weird.
Yeah.
But, like, it was okay, fine, and, like, that's not my Superman, like, right? When I start reading comics, it is a Superman who's more grounded and is this, and, like, now, like, I think American Alien by Max Landis.
I've heard that's good,
Such a great look at this character and how to make him contemporary. And it's the same way where Smallville, the TV show, I always say is the best live action interpretation of Superman there's ever been.
Did you play Injustice 2?
No. It's on my I
actually was really impressed. I didn't love the story in Injustice 1 as much, but I thought they really picked it up in Injustice 2, and I love the portrayal of both Batman and Superman.
Yeah, it's on my you know, live area on my PlayStation, ready to go. But
give it a shot. I played through it in two sittings. It's like a 6-hour campaign.
Yeah. And so it's all about making Superman human, and so many people miss that. Like I remember watching Kill Bill Volume 2 when Bill gives that speech, and I was like, I'm in the theater, and I'm like, this is so not the interpretation of Superman. No,
I didn't agree.
Yeah, and so like when you have it where he is a farm boy from Kansas, he is just this good person, not that he's an alien. That's when I think you can really tell interesting stories about it.
Huh.
One day, I've said this forever and ever and ever on our shows, I'm going to make this video for my Superman video game pitch, and that will convince you, Sid Sheehan.
Okay.
Cool. So PlayStation experience.
we're out of time. I'm very sorry. Greg, I so appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, it's an
especially
honor
on a bit of a rough voice, so thank you for bearing with us.
Oh, sorry about that.
Don't be sorry. We
appreciate
you
soldiered
through
it. It's desiccated.
So, Greg Miller, I know everyone can find you at kindoffunny.com.
Sure.
But do you have any other plugs before we let you go?
Nah, come to kindoffunny.com. We got two YouTube channels. We put up a gaming podcast each and every day called Kind of Funny Games Daily. We run you through the nerdy news in the video game world you need to know about.
The nerdy news.
We read the PlayStation blog quite often on
that
show.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
I love having you. So, thank you for coming on, bud. Yeah. Sid Schumann, Justin Massengill, Kristen Titus, the rest of the room that has been silent most of the time. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. This has been our special broadcast from PlayStation Experience 2017. Please email us your questions, your comments, your critiques to blogcast@sony.com. Send us a review on iTunes if you so choose. Thank you to Dormy Lone for our theme song and Corey Schmitz for our logo. We will have more PlayStation Blogcast coming to you soon, and we will see you next week.
We'll be right back.